Greetings in Jesus' name. I welcome each one here this morning to this portion of the service. I was blessed with the things that we were encouraged in this morning already with songs and what Chad had to share there. Maybe we can just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning with thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have, the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here this morning, to be taught by your word, to encourage each other by the lives that we live and to be challenged by each other. Just pray, Lord, this morning as we are here, to learn, I just pray that you would teach us, that you would encourage us by the preaching of your word, by the verses that we'll see in scripture and by the examples of each other, Lord. Just pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and give us courage to live these things out. I do pray for those that are not here with us this morning. I just pray that you would be near to them, that you would bless them wherever they are, and that they would be a blessing to the people that they're around. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about sharing this morning, I had to think about going back in my life and just thinking about highlights in my life and things that I have learned and things that I remember. And when I look back, the things that I remember mostly about is in my younger years. The things that I've learned, the disappointments that I had, and trials that I had, and the things that my parents taught me. Obviously, there's many things that I have learned since I left home and since I'm on my own and married. There's many things there that I have learned along the way. But I guess I've just been pondering that, and my desire this morning is to encourage us as parents, as families, and I want to talk about teaching our children. One of the things that I remember as a young boy was the first day of school. And I was very excited about going to school, and I was being picked up by a local, was the school bus, I guess, for that school. And I needed to go out and wait for the bus. And I was sure that it was time for me to go. And we had a long lane. And so I was wanting to make sure that I didn't miss the bus. And my parents kept telling me, "No, it's not time to go yet. There's plenty of time." But finally, they said, "Well, okay, you can go out and wait for the bus." And I went out and I waited and I waited. And I was sure that I missed the bus. And finally, when I was, what I remember, I felt like I was in tears. The bus showed up. And I remember that, how that felt, and I learned I don't know what I learned, but I learned, felt like I learned patience in that dad and mom are often right. Another thing that I remember is my dad teaching me about being honest. And in this lesson, we were in a grocery store and I was just a little boy. And I liked to chew gum. How many of the children here like to chew gum? Quite a few of us. Even I, to this day, still like to chew gum. Well, often when we were in the grocery store, and if I would ask my dad for, can we buy a pack of gum? The answer often was, no, we don't need gum. Well, that day I decided that I wasn't going to ask. And so I found the opportunity and I put a pack of gum in my pocket. And I was enjoying my gum later, and Dad saw and he said, where did you get that gum? And I said, well, I got it in the store. He said, well, we didn't pay for that gum. And so that means that you stole that gum. And so he said the next time that we go back to that store that we need to take that gum back and explain to them what happened. And so it all went well, but I learned something that day. And I still remember that. And there's other things that I remember that I learned growing up. We went to, as a family, we went to church regularly. And I learned the importance of that and the benefits of that, of being with God's people. My dad taught me this hunting. He taught me how to fish. And it was important to him that we learn how to swim. Those are things that I remember. He taught me some sports. I think when I was growing up, softball was sort of the thing that we did. And he taught me some of those things. And I learned many things in school as well. My dad taught me how to learn how to, when I'm playing a game, how to lose in a game in a good way. To accept that and to actually enjoy a game when you lose. Some of the thinking about basketball, that's something I've seen, and I see my boys playing it, but it's not something that I learned as growing up. I know what's supposed to happen, but I never learned all the rules and the different techniques of the game. And I guess I say all of that thinking about some of these things that I learned well when I was young. And I can be living life, not doing them, but an opportunity arises for me to experience or to do that. And it's all in there. And it's like, okay, you do this, you don't do that. You were taught those things and they're in there ready to be used when we, take the opportunity or when we know that we should. And so I guess the verse that I would like to start with this morning is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we know this verse very well, and sometimes it brings us joy, and sometimes it brings sadness to our hearts. And what does that verse exactly mean? I think a piece that we can know that it means is when we, the things that we are successful in teaching our children as parents, as children, things that you learn, they're stored away in there, and you will be reminded of those things, whether they be good or whether they be things that have no value to you, they're in there. And the time comes and you're reminded of those things, and you can use them to your benefit or to your failure. So just a couple of things that I would like to touch on this morning is teaching our children that they are loved. That's a subject that is, as godly parents, is something, it's a God-given desire to love our children. And sometimes we do that well, and maybe other times we fail. Another one is obedience. And then I want to touch on anger, and then being truthful, and then dealing with our emotions, which I guess looking at that, anger would fall into that as well. And then last of all, why we want to teach them these things. What are the benefits? What are we trying to accomplish? Teaching our children, teaching them that they're loved. We turn to Psalms chapter 5. Verse 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Here we see in these verses that God's love is a shield surrounding you and keeping you safe. As God's people, as God's children, if our trust is in the Lord, that is what we experience. And I believe that as parents, we have a call to, as we love our children, that as they experience that it's, that they can trust it, that they can trust our love, that it's a shield surrounding them and keeping them safe. Do they challenge that love at times? We see that happening. Do we at times question God's love in our lives? And it's like, well, is this really what he wants? Is this really, can I really trust that? But God is faithful, and he shows us in time that it is. In Romans chapter 8, going down to verse 35, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see in these verses the promise that we have with our love, our relationship with God, that nothing is going to separate us from the challenges in life. Distresses and persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword. And it continues speaking into that. What, as we live as families, as we love our children, do we betray that kind of love to them? Do they understand that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, going down to verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. God's love is perfect and is a model for how to love. In these things, we can, in a very young age, we can be teaching our children what they need to know about their Heavenly Father. As they grow up into adults, the things that they learn from us, that we taught them, will go with them, that will be, else be a help to them, or it's going to be something that they have to overcome. The things that we teach them in these areas is going to be a help to them, or it's going to be something that they have to overcome. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We see in scripture and we see in this verse that we've been adopted into the family of God. And then in John, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We've been adopted, and we're called his children, his sons. We're accepted. As our children grow up with us from little to adults, what do they experience in these areas in their lives relating to us as fathers and mothers? What did we teach them about authority that is in their lives? Teaching them on obedience. So we turn and look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, the first three verses there that we think about when we think about children obeying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We see these verses here as a commandment to us as children. We ponder these verses. How do we teach these verses as parents? How do we use them? Do we come to these verses and teach them that there is value in these passages? As I was pondering these verses and thinking about it and how do we come across with verses like this, thinking about the speed limit that is out there on the roads, and you're driving along and there's a speed limit that says it's 70 miles an hour. Do we teach our children the speed limit and that it has value, and that if you drive safely and reasonably, that it's going to potentially protect you? Or do we come across as, if you drive over the speed limit, there's going to be consequences? And yes, there is going to be consequences if we get caught. But do we come across with, try to plant fear into them of the speed limit and forget about teaching the value that it has? And I think if we look at this, the first three verses here in Ephesians 6, we can get, it's easy to focus on verse 1, but verse 2 and 3 have promise. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If we live these things out, in we're able to teach our children the value that it has, they will be blessed. The kind of authority that we are, the kind of lives that we live, will be motivational for our children, I believe. I recently was talking to a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to for a couple of years. He messaged me and told me to give him a call. And so we were talking for quite a while. And he was talking about his work and how he had gotten, someone else was working in his office that was working there and was excited about his job and was learning things to do, to try to do things better, running a business. And he was just saying how this person that was there motivated him and made him want to do things better. They were struggling in some areas and he was recognizing that. And this person was bringing encouragement into that. And I think often that we can do that. If we choose to, we can bring motivation into our families and even in a larger setting in our church. We as families, we inspire each other to go deeper, to go further, to work through challenges that we're facing. In Romans chapter 2, going down to verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Obedience is needed. We, as individuals, there's a human nature that we have is to seek after the things that we desire and to reject truth. But we need, God is calling us to follow Him, and we can teach these things to our children. Obedience, to teach them to understand what obedience is and the rewards of that. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, promise here. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Those that are obedient to God's word. Blessed are they. These are things that we can help our children to understand, to work through those things in young years. In their younger years, we can help them to understand what obedience looks like and what it feels like. And what it feels like if they don't obey. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Here we have the example, the effects of disobedience. And we have the example of obedience when Jesus followed God's call for him. And then in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So just a few examples of obedience and the things that we want to help our children to experience. Going on to looking at anger and how the effects that that has. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, a couple of verses that I've been pondering recently. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. These are things that I don't think we learn on our own. I remember growing up and I, by nature, it seemed like I had a temper and things didn't go my way. I like to express them and I love to have arguments with my parents, so to say, when I disagreed with the things that they had to say. So, can we help our children? Think we can help our children to learn some of these things in their young years. Help them to learn to listen and to hear what is going on. Help them to deal with the anger that rises up within us. And whether it be right or wrong, to deal with those things and to allow them to come forward out of our lives in a way that would be good. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are things that as God's people are to be put away. And I believe that we can help our children. And if we help them work through these things, these human tendencies, teach them how to deal with them as those things rise up in their lives. And that they would learn to deal with that. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. When we're confronted with a situation that is stressful, those things don't come naturally. They don't come from our human strengths, but I believe they come from the Lord. But if we can help our children to learn how to say no to what self wants, we do well. Honesty. Honesty is a really important thing in our lives. These are things that we should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth. And judgment, we bring judgment with truth. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Laying aside falsehood. Teaching, reminding each other that we're members one of another, and to be honest with each other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, teaches us to renounce the things that are hidden, not to be not walking in craftiness, to put those things away. I believe that we can help our children to teach them not to live that way. Help them to learn those things in a young age. In Job chapter 33, verse 3, my words are from the uprightness of my heart, and my lips speak knowledge sincerely. Job had learned a few things, and those were his words. Teaching on our emotions. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that we see coming out of as we follow Jesus, as we live for him. And I believe that we can help our children learn some of these things in as they grow up, that loving and being joyful and peace and kindness and that these things are important. And as they grow up into adulthood, and that they already know some of these things and understand, and they know how they feel. In Colossians chapter 3, in this chapter, the first five verses, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death those things that belong to our earthly nature. We see who we should be in Christ. As our children grow older, we can help them work through these things and help them to deal with the emotions, whether it's anger that I talked about earlier, or whether it's other things. Things that we have to sort out. Are we helping them sort those things out? In Romans chapter 8, we know that God works for the good of those who love him. Chapter 8, verse 28. Do we, as we deal with our emotions, are we able to help them work through those things and understand, help them to just process life, that they can have a clear understanding? In James chapter 4, teaches us on trusting God. Verse 6 and 7. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The benefits of trusting in God. Are we doing these things? And as we walk through and think about these things, and there's many other areas that we could touch on as well, but I think this helps us to maybe focus on some things. We see areas that maybe we're doing well, but we also we're made aware of areas that, as we look at these things, it's like, oh, I'm not doing so good there. And I think it can be like the conversation that I had with this person on the phone there, as he was looking at his work situation and had someone come in and that he trusted and was encouraging him. And it gave him new purpose, a new desire, a fresh desire to dig in and work harder and do the job that God had given him. In Luke chapter 8, passage that I'd like to look at here. Why do we want to be so diligent in these things, teaching our children, encouraging them, whether we have little children, whether we have older children in our homes? Why do we want to teach them? Why do we want to help them? Think Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 5. This passage, I hope, is the reason that we want to work through these things. Starting in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares, and riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The verses here on the different grounds, and I trust as we teach our children, as we teach them these things, that our motivation is to prepare their hearts. Our children's hearts are soft and fragile, and there is an evil one out there that is wanting to destroy, wanting to hurt our children's hearts and to snatch them away from God. And God has entrusted each one of our children in our hands to teach them, to train them, to show them by our lives what life is to look like, to show them what authority is, what godly authority is supposed to look like, to protect them. And to, if we can, in young years, help them to process life, and when they come to an age of accountability, that their soils are deep, that they're prepared to receive God's word, and that there's not a lot of things that will choke it out. I believe that that needs to be our motivation as we're raising our families, that we do what God has given us to do, but at the same time, we need to understand that in the end, that we can't teach them. We can teach them, but we can't make them accept what God would have for them. That it is their personal choice, and they need to choose whether or not they will serve God. But we can put a lot of tools in their hands that will help them. As they look back over life, as they're facing life, the experiences that we have given them, the things that we have taught them, do they help them? Will it help them? Will they be reminded of the things that we did, the things that we said, and that will help them to make good decisions? Or is it things that they're reminded of those things and they have to block them out and put them away because it hurts? In all of this, I want to encourage us, wherever we are today, that God is faithful. And God is always willing to pick us up and to carry us, to encourage us in the areas that we mess up. God is willing and able to fix those things. Sometimes we find ourselves in messes, and it's easy to get discouraged and just do our own thing, because life is, it looks too hard. It's too difficult. God wants us. We can't go back. But God wants us to rise up and to move forward, to continue doing what He has for us. In closing, in Psalms chapter 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me, O Lord, what you want me to do. That is the heart that God wants to see in us. And if we can humbly have and live that, and in spite of our imperfections, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our sins, I believe that if we betray that heart to our children and they see that coming forth, that it will motivate them to follow after our footsteps, the heart of humility. So may God bless you as we take on the challenges, the job that God has set before us, that we don't grow weary, but that we continue to do what God would have us to do. And as young people, I just want to encourage you today as well, that live for God. And if there's things in your life that you're struggling with, work through them. Don't allow the bitterness or anger to grip your life, but rather give it to the Lord and talk to your parents and work those things out and enjoy the joys of the Lord in your heart. May God bless.